Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
We need to realize that our God wants us to submit. He wants us to come before Him in a spirit of obedience, wanting to hear so that we can act in faithfulness. God wants to bless those who have fidelity towards His word. And His word is true, His words are life, and His words, when we apply them to our life, they will lead us into His will. And let me just say that differently. His words will lead us into blessing, that we might take hold of the promises of God. Well, take out your Bible and look with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs and chapter 19. The book of Proverbs and chapter 19. Now, we began this chapter last week. We're going to continue on this week, and we're going to begin with verse 17. And here we're going to learn once again certain benefits and also certain liabilities when we do not walk in fidelity, we do not trust in God, and we are not committed to His purposes. All of these things will bring about hardship in our life. All of these things will move us away from the goodness that God wants us to experience. So let's begin. Verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 19. Now, it begins with the word malve, which is a word for loaning, usually loaning money. And the implication is this: we're called to be generous, we're called to be sacrificial, and remember what the scripture says in the Gospels. Messiah is teaching, and He says, when you give to the least of the brethren, when you give food or water or a place to stay or clothes, or you visit those who are in prison, when you do such things, what does Messiah say? It's as though you've done it to Him personally. And that's really what this verse teaches us, because it says, you lend, and the implication is, you lend to the Lord. What is that like? How does He see that? Well, we have here the word chonen. Now, that word oftentimes is translated grace, but it's really favor. So the one who lends to the Lord, how is that going to be manifested? How do you lend to God? God doesn't need anything. I can't write Him a check. So how do I lend to God? By showing favor and grace to, and we have the word here, dal. The Hebrew word dal means someone who is in a very meager situation. Someone who does not have sustenance. He has less than he needs. And that's why he can't go to a bank. He has no assets to secure a loan. So those who loan to him, we should think of it as loaning to God. And it tells us here, the one who loans to God, he is going to show favor and be gracious to a one in a very meager situation. But here's the good news. Look at how this verse concludes. And his recompense, now that's an old English word. We can use a more modern word, his reward. When we led to the Lord by being gracious and showing favor to a very poor person, it says, his reward, whose reward? God's reward. God is going to reward us, and He is going to pay him, meaning He will pay it to you. The one who lends to Him, He is going to give back, and we know that God is a good giver. What does the scripture say in the book of Luke chapter 6? How does God give? pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. This is God. And if you want to experience God's generosity, God's reward, He's telling us how to do so. With the resources that He entrusts to you, be generous. Meet the needs of others. I'm not just talking about here by giving to some organization or some congregation. That's well and fine. But it's also a very, very good thing to do is to get personally involved in people's life by helping them and lending to them in their time of need. That's what the Word of God is saying here. Look now to verse 18. Now, it begins with the word of discipline. We know the verse of scripture that says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Another old English word for discipline or punishing. So notice the benefits here. We need to see the principles that these proverbs are revealing to us. It says here, he who will discipline his son. Now, children need discipline. So he who will discipline his son or chasten his son, what is that going to produce? For there is hope. Meaning this, you can have a son, and that child, there's not going to be any hope for that child unless you discipline him. Now, it doesn't mean abuse, doesn't mean hurting in a cruel or abusive way. It just means what it says, discipline. And children need discipline in love, just like God. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And it says here, through that discipline, that will give that child hope. Now, what does that mean? Hope for a good future, a good job, hope for a family. If he doesn't learn the outcome of discipline in his life, he is going to be in a hopeless situation. And then we have something else. It says, and to his death. So it's speaking about one that doesn't get discipline. What does that lead to? It's going to lead to his death. And it says, don't lift up your soul, meaning this. Don't be at peace with a hopeless situation, thinking that that child of yours, the way that he's going, that he is rebellious, he is not obedient. And when a child is in that frame of mind, that behavior, it is disastrous. And it's not going to end well. And what the scripture is saying is there's hope through discipline. And don't basically, it says, don't lift up your soul. That's the literal word, meaning don't be at peace with this. Don't tolerate that. Don't accept that as the outcome for your child. Look now to verse 19. Now, again, the book of Proverbs, Solomon is the author, and he wrote it in order to assist parents, primarily fathers, but there's wisdom for mothers here as well, on how to raise up a child in order that child has a godly testimony, that child can become a vessel, an instrument for the Lord to work through that individual. So he warns us here. Look at verse 19. Great is wrath, meaning when someone is great, meaning he has a large degree. That word great is a word gadol, meaning large. So when this one has a lot of anger or a lot of wrath within him, that he has a short fuse, that he behaves in such a way, what does the scripture say? It says, great in wrath lifts up, meaning receives a punishment. That anger has to be dealt with. We can't just put our heads in the sand. We can't ignore. If that child has a lot of anger, what needs to be done? He needs to be punished. Again, a different word, but discipline. He needs to be chastened. He needs to be punished. Why? Well, if you don't, what's going to happen? As I said, it's not going to end well. So if we ignore that situation, or what's even worse, this angry young man, he through that anger gets into trouble. So what do? We rescue him. We save him from the consequences of that anger, that attitude. And what does the scripture tell us? It says, ve'od tosif, meaning again and again and again, more and more, you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to continue to rescue him from the consequences of that anger. So don't tolerate anger, but rather you have to discipline him. Verse 20. It's a command. It says, listen to counsel. So listen to counsel. And what's the outcome of that? And receive musar. Now, again, musar is a word that we've spoken of and encountered frequently in the book of Proverbs and in many other places in the scripture. And I've shared with you, musar speaks of ethics. It speaks of morality. It's related to one who embraces the standards of God and applies those standards to his life. When we do that, it's not just going to impact our behavior, but it's going to impact our knowledge, our understanding, our wisdom. Notice what the scripture says. Look again to our verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive this ethics, this moral, the standards of God. Why? On account that you will be wise at your end. Meaning this, you are going to end well. You are going to complete your life with a godly testimony. You are going to be pleasing to him. And that's what really it's about. We want to live in a way that shows us demonstrating the wisdom of the Lord. And so when we listen to counsel, what does he say? You listen to counsel, you're going to receive God's standards of ethics and morality and such. And on account of that, that is going to make you wise at your end. You're going to finish well. Verse 21. Now, in verse 21, it has a word which means many, and it's in the plural. It can be singular, but it's in the plural, which says something. And it's also, the next word is makshavot, which is thoughts or intentions, or many will translate it plans, or those things that you design for your life. So notice what it says in this verse, verse 21. Rabot makshavot, meaning many, and again, it's many in the plural. Many are the thoughts in the heart of a man. So many are the thoughts in the heart of a man. But notice what it says. Those thoughts aren't important. All of my thoughts are not going to bring goodness into my life. What's going to bring goodness into my life? Notice what it says. Va'asat Hashem. But the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. So we want something that endures. We don't want that which is temporary. We want that which is ongoing. Now, who wrote the book of Proverbs? For the most part, Solomon. That's what we learned in Proverbs chapter 1. But what I want to share with you is this, that same Solomon, and of course we're talking about Malach Shlomo, King Solomon, we learn in the book of Ecclesiastes or Kohelet, one of the things that Solomon wanted to do is that he did not want to live a life in vain, a life in futility. Remember what he says, there's nothing new under the sun, vanity of vanity. He didn't want to live a futile life. He wanted to live a life that had meaning, and not just for a season or a generation or a century, but something that had eternal consequences. Now hear this. Anything that's going to have eternal consequences is going to be tied to the kingdom of God. And the book of Proverbs gives us, when we study it and we value it, it is going to give us a kingdom perspective. If we're believers and we have the Holy Spirit, we are going to have that kingdom perspective modified in our life, personified through our life, so that we demonstrate kingdom truth. So notice what he says. Many are the thoughts in the heart of a man. But that's not what's important, all of my many thoughts. But the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. Meaning it is going to endure. It is going to be established. So it's only through the counsel of the Lord that I can do those things that are going to have eternal implications, eternal outcome. Look now to verse 22. The desire of a man is his grace. Now, what it's saying here is this. And I believe that this is a very profound Proverbs. It speaks about the inner person. What the inner man, the inner woman, understands that he or she needs is the grace of God. Now, the grace of God, it is wonderful. What is its purpose? Well, the grace of God saves, but that same grace also, what else does it do? God's grace that saves. Also, it's an additional work. It moves us into the will of God so that we can do God's will and reap the benefits of obedience to the purposes of God. So it says here, the desire of a man is his grace, meaning God's grace. But good, and we could say better, poverty than a man of lies. So what we should seek is God's grace. What does God's grace do? Brings us into the truth of God. And it is far better. It's far better to be poor. That's this word here, the Hebrew word rash. It's better to be poor than to be a man of falsehood, a man of lies. Verse 23. The fear of the Lord is for life. Now, I'm translating this as accurate as I can in a most literal way. Yirat Adonai lechayim. The fear of the Lord is for life. And then it says, he will lie down. And this is a word for lodging, a place of inhabiting. So it says, he will, we might translate it, he will inhabit. And what's the next word? Savea. What's that? Satisfaction. So notice what it's saying here. When I base my life on the fear of the Lord, what does that mean? Can we think of this in a practical way? Yes, we can. The fear of the Lord is always, always, always related to the priorities of God. So what he's saying here is this. When my life is not based upon my desires, no, my desire is God's grace. Through God's grace, I can develop in my life this change that has to happen through the grace of God. I become committed to the will of God or the priorities of God. And in doing that, I'm going to dwell in satisfaction. The will of God, the priorities of God, satisfies the individual. And notice there's a great benefit with it where it says, bow Yifaker ra, which means an evil will not visit. Now, that word for visiting is not the normal word levaker, but that very important word, pekuf dalet, which is a word of commitment. And what it's saying here is this. God is committed that evil will not visit you, meaning will not dwell with you. Now, evil might attack, but you will overcome. When you are living under the fear of the Lord, you are going to be living a victorious life, and you are not going to find that evil, that attacks of the enemy, they are not going to get the best of you. You will be able to overcome through that priority that you have in your life for the purposes of God. Look now to verse 24. Now here, it's a very, very basic proverb that we're encountering. Notice what it says. Taman atzel. Well, this is a lazy one that conceals his hand or hides his hand ba slachat. Now, slachat is a plate. I realize that many Bibles will translate it as a bowl. That's kara. That's not correct. It's a plate. And what it says to bury, all it's saying is his hand is in the plate. Why would you put your hand in the plate? And the reason is because there's food there. But someone is lazy. It's trying to teach us a principle about being lazy. Notice what it says. Verse 24. A lazy one conceals his hand in the plate. Also, to his mouth, he will not return it. Now, what does that mean? It means that there's food, but he's not going to reap any of the benefits of that food on his plate. Why? He is so lazy. There's food there, his hand's there, he has access, but his laziness prohibits him from just lifting it up to his mouth. And what it's trying to tell us is this: laziness robs us of so much. Don't be lazy, period, but certainly as believers, don't be lazy in regard to the things of God. A very practical and a very true proverb. Verse 25. Now, the first word in verse 25 is the word let's. And let's is a word of a scoffer. Now, remember in the New Covenant, in that prophetic passage about the last days where it says scoffers will come and they will scoff at what? The promise of Messiah's coming. So it says here, look at the text, verse 25, scoffers, you will strike, meaning you will hit, punish them. Those who scoff, and the word here for scoff implies scoffing at the word of God, scoffing at the commandments of God, the instructions of God, the will of God. Don't scoff at these things, because if you do, what does it say? A scoffer will be struck, and the punishment of that one, the judgment of that scoffer, what does it go to do? Well, notice, u-feti. Now, a peti is someone who is a simpleton, meaning he's not the brightest person. He's very, very minimal in his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. And what it says here is this: when you will punish someone who, look at the verse, who scoffs at the things of God, the implication is even a simple one will be, notice this next word, it's a word for being cunning. It's the same word that speaks about that nachash, that serpent in the garden. Now, of course, what he did was not good, but he acted in a cunning way. And this word, many times it's translated to be prudent or to be someone who is very cunning. Someone who is shrewd is another word that we could use. So notice what he says, verse 25. A scoffer you shall strike. Why? Because even the simpleton, it will be cunning. And one who reproves a wise one, or one with understanding, that's the Hebrew word navon. Navon is probably best translated with the word understanding. The one who reproves one of understanding, he will know. Meaning this: when you have a wise, a young man, a young woman with understanding, and you reprove that one, that is a word of correction. It's a word of setting things in order. When you do that, it is going to cause that one to, notice what it says, he will understand knowledge. He is going to grow and mature. Let's move on to verse 26. Now, verse 26 speaks about one who is abusive. Now, this can be used, for example, in a different grammatical construction, but same word, can be used for pirates or a bank robber or in general a thief. But not just a thief that comes and steals, but a thief that also wants to harm, meaning do bodily harm to those that he takes things from. That bodily harm is also just as important as what he steals. So it says here, verse 26, one who is abusive to his father. That's the implication. An abuser of the father. What will he do? He will cause the mother to flee, meaning run away. A son of shame and disgrace. So when a son abuses his father, unkind, speaks in a disrespectful way, all of those things, it will chase his mother away. His mother will flee. That's literally the word that's used here, to flee. And it says in the end, that son is going to be shamed and disgraced. Look now to verse 27. My son, to cease to listen to, and there's that word again, Musar, the ethical standards, the moral standards of God. A son that ceases to hear these standards of God. What is he going to do? He is going to err in the words of knowledge, meaning this. He's not going to be able to receive words of knowledge. Someone can give him wise counsel and advice. He's going to be making an error. He's going to be deceived. He will not be able to benefit from, as it says here, he will not be able to benefit from the words of knowledge. He's going to err in these words because this one ceased to listen to the ethical truth and the moral truth of God. Verse 28. Now, in verse 28, it begins with the word ed, which is witness, but we have the phrase b'li ya'al. We've come across that before. B'li ya'al is a extremely wicked individual. We see that also in the Torah, speaking about those that are wicked for the sake of wicked. They are unruly. They do things simply because they enjoy the sufferings of other people. So it says here, look very carefully, a witness that has that character, he can't be believed. He likes to see individuals punished. So a witness of this type of behavior, what does he do? He will scoff at justice. He's not interested in justice. He likes people to suffer. And then it says, in the mouth of wicked ones, he will swallow, meaning the mouth of wicked ones, that mouth will swallow aven, which is wickedness. It's those things that are contrary to the character of God. God is righteous, he is holy, he is pure, he is good. Aven is the exact opposite of all of those. Well, let's look at our last verse, verse 29. It says here, to thee, and this is the third time we've seen this word, to those who are scoffers, we will establish judges or judgments. So it's two ways that you can translate this word. Judgment is probably the best. So to the ones who are scoffers, and here again, to not take seriously the word of God, the instructions of God, the counsel of God, the moral standards of God, the ethical standards of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. When one scoffs at these things, they are going to find judgments, in the plural, being established to them. And then notice the next phrase, and this would be a word for beating. And if you keep reading, it says, and beatings, it's in the plural, and it's an intense word, beating intensely the back of what? And it has here the word for fools. And this word for fool, I've shared it with you before, it speaks to those who know the truth, but who reject the truth. So it's not someone who's confused. It's not someone who doesn't understand legitimately. I just don't know that. I'm unaware of it. But it's someone who willfully understands what God is saying, but rebels against it. And what does God say about such one? there is going to be established for such a person judgments. And likewise, the one who is this rebellious, foolish individual, he is going to have beaten his back. So this harsh beatings will be to the back of foolish ones. Let's not be foolish. Let's embrace the morality and the ethical standards of God. What is happening in this world right now? Well, the spirit of the Antichrist, he is also known as the man of lawlessness, meaning the man who is against the law. What does that mean? Against love and against righteousness. We learn how to love God and to love others through the law. We also learn righteousness. Now, the law doesn't make us righteous, but we find the definition of righteousness through the commandments that Moses received from God on Mount Sinai. So we want to be people that do not fall into the trap of this world, embrace the deceit of the Antichrist and his empire. And his empire, although it has not emerged, we see many more nations throughout the world embracing that same character of lawlessness, of unrighteousness, and doing that which is against the simple and true moral standards and ethical standards of God. We need to realize that things are changing in this world, and changing in the way that God said they would in the last days. Let's not be deceived. Let's not compromise. Let's stand up for the ethical and moral and the righteous standards of God. This is what we're called to do. And this is what Proverbs, the wisdom of Proverbs, enables us to do. Well, I'll close with that. Until next time, Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.